Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and it's good to be able to stand here and talk with you. Kind of hard for a minister to preach a 15 or 20 minute sermon. Sometimes they have to do it, radio programs and different things, but it's pretty hard for Brother JT especially. And I'm pretty much the same, but we won't hold you long. He's trying his best to see that you get a little rest, and he understands that you have to work, and I do too. And I appreciate your position, because without you, then the gospel couldn't go on. It takes you as the body of Christ, and I'm concerned about you tonight. But I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to the second book of Kings, if you've got your Bibles. Let me exhort you a few minutes here, and you know, it's not hard to get across the message if you'll listen. The biggest thing is to, as Peter said when he went into the gate there that's called Beautiful, and he said, look on us. The biggest thing is to be able to get your eyes of understanding that you might look on us and that we might speak to you in the name of the Lord and be able to give you something that will inspire and lift up your soul. You need something in this hour. If you've ever needed something, you need it now. You need it now. The song said, Lord, if I've ever needed you before, I sure do need you now. I've needed God all through my lifetime, but I need God now. I need God now more than I've ever needed him in my life. Amen. But he promised that if we keep the word of his patience, he said, I shall keep thee from the thing that shall come upon the earth. And I'm glad that I'm trying to keep his words of patience. And now that I see all these things coming upon the earth, he promised that he would keep me. And he's faithful that promised. Amen. We're reading tonight from the sixth chapter of the second book of Kings. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me. I haven't quite got used to preaching up here. I wish I had a little door over here and a little door over here. Maybe some of these days Brother J.T. will put one up here. Usually if I'm just teaching, I just like to stay behind the stand here close to the mics. But if I'm preaching, I like a door that I can go in and out because it kind of gets tight up here or something. But anyway, reading tonight from the book of Kings, second book of Kings, over in the seventh chapter, I'd like you to read with me. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites, and the king of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat, and drank and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well this day. Do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Notice here in the first verse, the prophet Elisha speaking as he comes from out of his place of prayer, perhaps like Elijah did, the one that had cast the mantle back to him at his departure. Here as Elisha comes forth from his place of prayer, under the anointing of God, just like the ministers of today, sent forth to carry a word to the people, or carry a message to the people, and here we find Elisha going up to the city of Samaria. The city of Samaria sitting in a high place, so to speak, a great city stretched out, a city that had stooped to the abominations of mankind and had turned away from the leadership of God and didn't care anything about God, but was carried away with the fancies of life and the materialistic realms of life. And so it was that this city had stooped to the ways of idolatry. And here we find God speaking to the prophet Elisha. And he said, Elisha, go to the king of the city and tell this king that I have a word for him. And here we find Elisha going to the city, and Elisha begins to speak. And as he approaches the city, the Bible says, he that God sendeth shall speak God's word. And the first thing that Elisha says as he comes near, he says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. I believe that any true minister of God that's sent to carry the message of Christ, the first thing that he will do, he will say, hear ye the word of the Lord. That's the only thing that he knows, is the word of the Lord. The word of God is within his mouth. The word of God is within his heart. His desire is unto God. His ways are of God. And all that he desires to do, every desire of the heart, is for you to hear the word and you to come to the word, and that he might make you to be able to conform to the word of God. And so Elisha approaches the city, and he begins to speak to the king, and began to speak to the people. And he says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Folks, tonight, the thing that we need to do is to get away from doctrines and ideas and disciplines and ideology. Get away from what the wife has got to say. Get away from what the husband's got to say. Get away from what the children think about it. And turn to God and hear ye the word of the Lord. Amen. That's what we need to do tonight. There is no words of life but of God. I want you to notice this. As Elisha approached the city preaching here, as he came with his message, the Bible said just outside of these gates, there was four leprous men that stood outside of the gates. And these men dying with leprosy, nobody to turn to. They could not go into the city because there was no hope in the city. And there was nobody that would allow them in there in the time when there was something in the city. And now here they was outside of the city, and nobody was noticing them in this great hour. But here outside of the city, the four leprous men sitting outside of the city, perishing away with disease. And Elisha came speaking the words of the Lord. And as they heard the words of the Lord, and as Elisha spoke of a great revival, it moved the hearts of these men here. It moved the hearts of the leper after he had proclaimed unto them that there would be a great time when there would be nothing in the land, when there'd be no water from heaven, when there'd be no food in the land, and that God would cause a great famine to sweep over the city. Here these lepers had heard that, and the lepers had seen that very thing come to pass. And like a lot of people today that's outside of the church, these leprous men sit outside the church in the time, or outside the city in the time of the great famine. And here as they sit there, the people of that day could have come out and beckoned to them and asked them to come into the city, even though they were outcast, even though they were considered to be outside the city, to wrestle the dogs for the bones, or live any way that they could because of the leprosy that they had on the body. And leprosy being a type of sin, it comes down to the same thing today. Though those people are out yonder outside of the church, we might go by and we might invite them into the church. We might say to them, as the people of that day perhaps could have said to them, we might say, why don't you come into the church? Why don't you come and worship with us? I believe that if anybody had invited these men into the city, the reply that they would have got, they would have said, we're starving to death out here, and if we go in there, we'll starve to death too. I want you to know that when you invite a sinner into the church, the thing that he feels is I'm starving outside. But when I look at you, you look like you're spiritually thin too. You're starving to death too. Why invite me to come over and die with you? Why not just leave me out here with the bums and the drunkards and the harlots? What's the need of going into the house of God when you don't have anything to give to me? When you don't have anything to share with me? You're just like I am. A lot of us go around and we ask people to come to the house of God. We ask people to come and join worship with us. But I want you to know that the people of the world today know that you're spiritually starving to death. They know there's a famine on in the church. They don't want to come in there in the midst. midst of it. The most miserable, wretched people in the world is those that won't worship in the Spirit, that won't follow God, that won't do the things that God's called them to do. They're miserable people. They're worse than the people outside. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, he said, we are all men the most miserable. We are more miserable than anybody else. If this is the only place that we have hope, because we cut ourselves off from the things of the world, we turn away from the things of the world. I want you to know tonight that there is a greater hope that's in Christ tonight, and you and I can rise up from the place that we're at like the lepers did and go forward to do the things that God's commanded us to do, and we can find bread that will bring on a great blessing in the land just as these men did. Just one little act of faith here. As they sat outside, they said, there's no need to go back in the church. 30 nominations of the day. They sent out their invitations. They sent out people to beckon to you to come and join up with their organizations, with their church affiliations. But I want you to know today there's nothing in there. There's a famine in that city. There's no need to go back into that city. There's nothing in there. It's desolate. As the prophets have prophesied, there's a famine that's in that city. Said in the last days there shall be a famine, not for bread, but for the hearing of the word. Amen. They won't hear the word in that place. There's a famine in those denominations of today, and you might as well to stay out of them. But like the four leprous men, we can rise up, folks, and we can begin to make a faith march. We can say, well, we're dying anyway. That they're dying in there, and we're dying out here. There's no need for us to go back in there. But let us rise up in God. Let us go forward in God. Let us get stirred up in the Spirit of the Lord and move by the power of God. Have God to come down and make a way in the desert for us. He's able to make the desert blossom as a rose and bring forth the powers and blessings of Almighty God. Here, these men sitting outside the gate, they began to rise up. I want you to get the picture tonight. They started by faith, and God began to bless them. God began to pour out his blessing upon them. He began to stand behind them. The act of faith always moves God. I asked God the question one time. I said, Lord, the little widow going into the temple. Over here, I said, she cast in her two mites. I said, and here, our rich men come along, and they cast in out of their abundance. I said, and you said, Lord, that she cast in more than all of them. I said, God, how can you say that she cast in more than all of them? I said, you know that those men cast in more money than she did. I said, how can you do a thing like that? He said, son, he said, it wasn't the offering that moved me. It wasn't the money that moved me. I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me. He said, the gold is mine and the silver is mine. I create the good and I create the evil. I have my way in the good and I have my way in the evil. But he said, the act of faith in the widow's heart, it moved me. Said she cast in all of it, and that it took faith to do that. And faith touches God. And faith moves God. And faith does something to God. And he said, faith moved me. Those men didn't act on faith. They had a bank account in reserve. They had materialistic goods in reserve. That thing didn't move God. But I want you to know that little widow moved God. It took faith to do what she done. Yeah. As I heard Brother Blossom say a while ago, get your suitcase. Get your suitcase. Draw your money out of the bank and get your suitcase. Cast all you got upon God. Have all things common like they did in the early church and honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Then shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with that new wine. Can't put new wine in old bottles, but it'll burst out with the new wine when you honor God for that which you have. I want you to notice this. As those four lepers began to move by faith, the same thing happened to them that happened to a lot of people. They started off the war a good warfare. Started off to fight a good fight, but they fell into a snare. I want you to notice when they got down here and God fought for them and God drove their enemies out. And God brought them to a place down here where they see all kind of goods. Remember, he said, Jacob, thou shalt pass through the land of Esau. And he said, I've given this unto this people a foreign inheritance. He said, but don't you touch a thing that they got. He said, just over the way is the Canaan land. Over the way is your inheritance. He said, you leave these materialistic rims along. Leave the material goods along. I want you to know the people of today just can't keep their hands off of the things of the world, can they? They've got to have the houses. They've got to have prestige. They've got to have the things of the world. They just can't be satisfied no other way. They want to hold on with God with his hand. Hold on to the things of the world with his hand. I want you to know if the love of the world is in you, then the love of God is in you. Notice that if the love of the things of this world is clawing at your heart, the love of God's not there. These men rose up, they started to war a good warfare. Started off to fight the battle of faith. Got down and God subdued their enemies. And they got in there and they saw the gold. And they saw the silver. Like Achan over there when he got down in the city, he saw the Babylonian garments. He just couldn't leave the things of the world alone. And it was so beautiful, he said, oh my, they're running away from these things. I better catch hold of them. Now's a good time for me to get me a good nest egg. While these people are losing interest in it, and I've already got God anyway, that don't bother me. But they're getting afraid, I better grab some of the sub. You know, he said in the last days they'll throw their gold and their silver to the bat. Amen. He said they'll throw their money in the highways. They'll say, God, let the rocks and the mountains fall on me. Let it cover me from the anger and from the wrath of the Almighty God. While the Christian people are running out there trying to grab a hold of everything, the Egyptians is God, trying to grab a hold of everything, the world's God, then the world's throwing it down. They're getting away from it. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. These four leprous men, they begin to hide a little bit here, hide a little bit here, a little bit over there. Kind of like it was in the days of Saul over there. When God said, you go destroy the Amalekites. Don't you mess with what the God. Saul went over there and he began to look at the fat cattle. And he saw some fat cattle over here. And he saw some Babylonian garments over here, so to speak. And he said, I better get me a little nest egg while I can. I better do something while I can. These people, I don't realize the value of this anymore. They got the fear of God in them. And he run over there and he got a few cattle over here. And he got a few things over here. But I want you to know that Samuel the seer was on the job and was watching. He was looking down there. He saw that thing when Almighty God said, Samuel, he said, rise up. He said, that king that you anointed over yonder said he's done lost out of his God. Got his thing, a mind on the things of the world. And the Bible said that Samuel went over and he said, now Saul, he said, what is it you've done? Oh, Saul, just like a lot of hypocrites of the day. Saul began to speak and Saul said, oh, now Samuel, he said, I haven't done anything wrong. Samuel said, what have you done? What have you done, Saul? And he said, I haven't done anything. Oh, but he said, you have. He said, God told you to slay everything, do away with everything. He said, but here you come back with those things of the world. And I want you to get a picture of this tonight. Saul playing the hypocrite. He said, now, Samuel, the church is in a tight and they need a few dollars. And you know how it is, Samuel. Now you know we've got to have this to go. And we've got to have that to go. And faith doesn't meet the needs anymore. And you know the day in the crisis that we're in, Samuel, and you understand it all. Samuel said, I understand one thing. You played the hypocrite. He said, you got your mind on material goods. And he said, you turned away from God. You left God for these things. And he began to get stirred up in the power and the anointing of God. He'd already cried over it. Already spilt tears over it. He was already wearing himself down over it. And God said, stop crying, Samuel. And go over there and do the thing that I tell you to do. So it was. When he got over there, Saul began to say, Samuel, the reason I've done this, he said, I was going to take some of these big fat cattle and when these poor people come up here on the hill, then they wouldn't have to give me their cattle and I take these cattle, you know, and I make everything all right and I'll offer them up. Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. He said, Saul, God doesn't need your gold. God doesn't need your silver. He owns all the gold and silver that's in the world. Everything in this world belongs to him. And he said, he doesn't need what you got. So it was. When Saul began to talk, I want you to notice this. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. Way back over on the hillside over here, a little old sheep, he held his face up in the wind, you know, he bleated it out. Oh, you hypocrite, he said. You played the hypocrite, Saul, and I testify against you. Bible said, let everything that has breath praise God. And he throwed his little head up in the wind. Probably the Spirit of God moved off in the mountains there and touched him, throw his head up and give him away. He betrayed him. While he was trying to talk his way out of that like a hypocrite, well, you know, then he began to try to explain that away. Way back over here somewhere, the ox threw his head up in the wind. Spirit of God moved on him. He lowered out over there. Oh, you played the hypocrite, Saul. And so it is today when you try to patch up one hole, then there'll come another. When you try to lie to the prophet, there'll come something else. When you try to get around one thing, there'll come another because God is looking down from out of heaven. Just like Gehazi when he rode over there after Naaman. He took after Naaman when the prophet said, we don't want the things of the world. And then he took right out down there after Naaman. Oh, he said, we need to change our mind. He said, we decided this might come in handy. We have an awful burden here to bear. And if you just give us some burden bears, if you just give us a few changes of your clothes, we think everything would be quite different if you just do that. We change our mind about the whole situation. Come back up there, got it all here like these four lepers did. Got his potion here, chin his potion here, there. And then we come over there. How the prophet, what he looked at him, and the prophet said, where have you been? Gehazi, what have you been doing? Where have you been? I tell you, we need some prophets in the church today. We need somebody in the church today to speak the word of God and tell the truth about things and put people where they're supposed to be in God and tell the things that the prophets told them that day. Prophet said, Gehazi, where have you been? Oh, he said, I haven't been anywhere. Gehazi said, I haven't done anything wrong. Elisha said, didn't my heart go with you when you run after the world down there? When you got down there and grabbed those things, he said, listen. He said, I want you to know something, Gehazi. He said, you can have the things of the world. You can have the things of Esau. You can turn to the Babylonian Shagamon. He said, but there's something that goes along with it. He said, I want you to know also, after you turn to the things of the world, you got to take the leprosy. You got to take the sin. You got to take that thing that's going to eat the core of your soul out. God's chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith as heirs of salvation of the kingdom. And the gospel is sent unto the poor. And the Bible said the poor have the gospel preached to them. Why did God keep us poor? It's because he wanted to give us the true riches. He didn't want us to fill our bellies with the husk. He didn't want us to turn to the things of the world. My wife, when I started off preaching the gospel, they come to me and they begin to tell me, you can't do this and you can't do that. I said, according to the Bible, I can. Oh, but they said, you'll miss out on this and you'll miss out on that. And I bought me a little house and bought me a piece of ground and everything was going well, and my brother thought I'd gone crazy. Oh, today he's got a nice home, he's got a nice car, he's a contract that he's got, he makes money, but I want you to know, I'm thankful to God that I chose the way with God's despised few. I might walk with the lowly and go the way that they go and find the thing that they find for him. So it was. He thought I was crazy, but I said, I believe what God said. I said, I see something ahead that makes me to look as Paul when he's caught up in the third heavens. All this is beggarly elements of the world. I have no desire for these things. I said, I see something that's a greater treasure. Yes. So it was these four leprous men, how they went and hid something over here. They bought them a house over here, so to speak, bring it down to our present day terminology. And they bought them a house and said, we better invest a little money over here. Now we can't carry too much away. Around with us, so the church folks might feel like we can pay a little more of the bill than we think we ought to pay. Just want to do our share. I want you to know something today, folks. It's not what you give, it's what you have left over. After you give, it moves God. It's when you give everything that you've got. He told the rich young ruler, he said, sell everything that you got. You sell out to God. Oh, he said, in the last days you'll do it. You might not do it now. While I was out in California, I met a rich man. He took me out to supper over there. My wife and children, he said, Brother Pike, he said, I'm rich. He said, I once had an experience with God. He said, but I drifted away, and he said, God's made me rich. He said, but this ain't what I want. This ain't what satisfies. Oh, if I could just get away from it, he said, I'd give it all to get back with God. I met another man there that had an experience with God. He had turned away from God. He got over there, and God had given him plenty of money. He said, Brother Pike, I'll invest him 50. He went over to about $200,000. I collectively speaking between them, if I just open up a school in California, buy me a big two-story church, took it and showed it to me. Showed me all the things around it. And one lot that sold for $30,000. He said, Brother Pike, just stay here and take this and we can really get together. I said, God told me that I had to move on. God said, preach the gospel. I'm going to all the world for a witness. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I began to move. I want you to know he was willing to get rid of everything he had just to find God. Those Hebrew people that we talked to yesterday, I looked at the woman. Her house worth about $80,000, he said. Two brand new automobiles, a place just lovely. Oh, it was beautiful. A man that is a CPA. He's a certified public accountant. Got everything that he could wish for. Got men working under. And his wife looked at me and she said, I'm miserable. Oh, she said, I wish I could get to what you're talking about. She said, I wish I could get a hold of that God that you're speaking of. She said, I'd lay aside everything I got. Said, if I could get God. And then he come in. The way he come in, he greeted us with a curse word. He come in cursing. You know, the Bible said the rich speak haughty, but the poor uses entreaty. You think somebody's got something. Oh, when they talk to you, they really talk haughty. But you take somebody that ain't got nothing, and they'll humble themselves down. Oh, let me tell you something. There's a world of difference. He coming over there, and
He throwed out his shoulders. He cursed, you know. I just waited, and I know the way to a man's heart like that. Start talking about what he's got, and you can get his mind. I start talking about what he got. Wasn't a little while, I had his mind to begin to speak to him. And I began, he said, oh, let me tell you something. He said, if I could have my health back, he said, I'd cripple him. He said, if I could find that God you're talking about, he said, I'd give everything I got. He said, I turned everything I've got loose. What was that? It's getting close to the end time. It's getting close to Christ. A time for Christ to come and receive the boy. So the riches of the bad. He said, they'll throw them out in the street. They'll do away with them. They'll throw them, won't them anymore. I want you to know that God's watching. God's watched that little stumbling errant few that give everything that they got. That's been hungry half the time. That's done everything they could do to tear the gospel. I heard Tommy Osmond stand up out yonder in Long Beach, California while he's out there. He looked out at the multitudes and he said, folks, will you underwrite something for those poor starving people over yonder? Will you underwrite something to carry the gospel to the heathen? And he looked at him, he said, let me tell you, he said, the rich won't do it. Tommy Osmond said, the rich won't do it. He said, I've traveled around. Said, the rich won't do it. He said, you poor people is the ones that's done it. Has got your little nickels and dimes and dollars together. He said, the rich won't do it. Jesus said, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Oh, you don't have to be rich. Just have riches. He said, the rich won't do it. Oh, what is it for him? Oh, they're throwing their money to the vats. They're saying, let me out of here. Oh, this body that I love to put powder and paint on. This body that I love to put form-fitting clothes on. This body that I love to educate to an intellectual. I pour the degree to become a prison. There's a demon power. There's a spiritual power. That's gotten in my body. It's gotten in my mind. And it's got my spirit in the captivity. And this body's become a prison. I can't get away anymore. I can't get to God anymore. What is it? Over in the book of Hebrews, what did he say? He said there'd be some that'd come right up. Remember, after that you've tasted of the heavenly gift. Oh, after you've been made partakers of the Holy Ghost. After you've tasted the good word of God to come, and then you decide you want the thing of the world. Don't come knocking at my door no more. He said, my Christ died for sin one time. I'll never put him back on the cross for the second redemption. He said, I'll give you a chance. You've tasted of the blessings of God. You've tasted of justification and sanctification. You've tasted of the glories of God. You've had some of the heavenly gift from above. You've had the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost to the extent that he's given you some of those wonderful things. You've tasted of the Holy Ghost to that extent that you've approached unto him. And then you come to find the same with have prestige and position. Honor! Understand, the church is the way you can get along good and where you can do the things of the world and have a little somebody to notice you and praise you a little bit. Love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Love the comforts of life more than you love God. Oh, he said, you've gone too far. When you come up and you peek over like that, he say, oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, but the cross is so heavy. I think I'll just try to hold on to it and I'll go back out here. Oh, he said, you crucified Christ the flesh if you ever got back. He said, you'll never get back. You'll never get back. Oh, you say, Brother Pye, what about them that backslide? I want you to know there's a world of difference in backsliding. When I go to going back like this, I'm backsliding. When I go to going back like this, I'm just laying it down and walking away for the thing of the world. Long as I try to hold on. Have you ever seen an old dog just going along and doing the best he can, and then he gets full of ticks, and the ticks begin to sap the blood out of him, begin to drain the blood out of him, and he just keeps on going just as far as he can, and after a while his strength just gives out on him. That's a backslider. When a person gets weak in their prayer life, weak in their fasting life, weak in their study life, and the persecution gets so heavy, and they're still trying to go on, and then after a while they just get pulled down and they get in bondage and they get a little careless and cold and indifferent. That's a backslider, friend. But I'll tell you, when somebody comes up and looks around and says, oh, this is nice, but I believe I can take this along with me, and he starts back out there, you've done gone the last mile. You've sold off for the things of the world. That's why Judas went out and hung himself. You say, Brother Pike, why didn't Judas repent over God's merciful? I'll tell you why. He knew he'd gone the last mile. He had done come that way. He had done tasted some of those things. And then when he got up there and he saw the glories of God, he said, I'll take the 30 pieces of silver. There wasn't no need for him to go back. All he could do is go out and hang himself. And that's what he done. He realized what he done. That's the reason some folks are having nervous breakdown. That's the reason the insane asylums are filling up. That's the reason the hospitals are filling up. That's the reason the wrecks on the highways. People are frustrated, full of fear. Why, in the time of harvest, Jordan overflowed all of its banks. It's that time and it's that hour for him. What is it Elisha said? Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Oh, we're living in a sad time. Living in a sad time. It's a sad time for people. But I'm glad to God that there's some people that still love the Lord. Oh, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something tonight. You don't want to mess with the things of the world. You want to leave those things alone. Get away from those things. You don't want those things, friend. Get away from them. Oh, I'll tell you, if there's anything in the world that's grieved me, every church that I've went to just about around the town, there's somebody in there that's got a hold of the things of the world. I've watched it everywhere I've been, and lo and behold, when you meet somebody like that, about half a dozen of the saints, they begin to follow right after them. They say, Sister so-and-so has got so-and-so. Now, I better see if I get him better home. After a while, he's having to work over hours and got two or three jobs, and he can't get to church, and he can't pray, and he can't fast, and can't do nothing. No, but brother, let me tell you something. When they see those began to lay their riches down and throw away, they'll say, oh, we done made a mistake here. Husband, I thought I was doing right. Wife, I thought I was doing right. But look what we've done. We played around and played the hypocrite on God, having looked over. Oh, we stand with me tonight. We stand with me tonight. Coming to a close here. Don't take too long. What is it? I'm preaching tonight. I'm up to teach. Oh, I told my wife before I come to church. If God wanted me to miss tonight, I felt like preaching a little bit. Get stirred up a little bit in the scriptures. I want you to know something tonight, friend. I want you to know there's people that's throwing everything they got in their hands. They're doing it. They're doing it. What's going to happen? Down in Egypt when they started out, what happened? What happened? They said, here, you can have our gold and silver. Brother, when the plagues begin to hit and the sicknesses begin to hit and the cancer begin to hit, TB begin to hit, they run over here to the doctors and the doctors of Egypt couldn't do nothing for them. And they found out there's miracles over here. And they found out there was a line over there between the Egyptians and between the Israelites. And all them things wasn't happening to the Israelites. They had a bomb in it. They said, here, you can have our money. Yeah, yeah, we'll give you $10,000 to hold the campaign. And here runs somebody out with a big piece, you know, and just bring it down and suddenly they're coming out. Oh, yes! They're throwing away the thousands of dollars. Oh, they're throwing away the gold and silver. Now, here's my chance to make my testimony. Oh, yeah, I'll take that healing magic. I'll take the treatment. Oh, yes, dear sister, you'll get healed. You just bring it on to me. But thank God there's somebody just pushing aside and said, throw it to the bands. Throw it to the bands and do what you want to with it. Your gold is cankered. It's come up. Your garments are moth-eaten. Throw it to the bands. We don't want it. We got streets of gold. We got gates of pearls. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's a wonderful time for them that believe. It's a wonderful time for them that believe. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, what are you doing tonight? This is usually the way I preach all the time. I usually preach this way all the time. Oh, you say, that's hard, Brother Pike. That's the way I preach everywhere I go. I wanted to get some tapes of teaching here. That's why I've done what I've done. What is it, friend? It's the hours of judgment. They said, you can have our gold and silver. You can have our jewelry. My little girl, I don't think they'll mind me saying this. She's come a long ways. Every girl has to go through a certain state. A few years ago, they've had to make some sacrifices for which I'm glad. I'm grateful. Abraham offered his son up. I was glad to offer mine up. God didn't take him. He done just like he did Isaac. He took care of him. Took care of me and my wife. But my little girl said, Daddy, said, I'd love to have a pretty dress. I said, honey, I said, you just wait. I said, a little while ago, throw them all to the bat. And I said, you can get every one you want. He lost her interest in your dress. He lost her interest in them. I said, just wait. You can have all you want. They'll get rid of them. Oh, let me tell you something. How many of you tonight really wants to go with Christ? Let me see your hand. Really wants to go with Christ. Oh, my. There's still time. There's still time. Well, why are you preaching like you're preaching, Brother Parker? There's still time. There's still time. But I just want you to get the idea tonight, friend. It's time to stop playing around. God's tired of you dibbly-dabbling out here and dibbly-dabbling over here and letting the saints of God suffer and you having a bank account and you having anything calling that all things common. God's tired of it. God's tired of you trying to hold on to a house down here over here and you put every dime you got into it while little babies are laying on the streets in starvation over yonder. Over yonder in India, they're laying on the streets in starvation. God said, you see your brother have need, shut up your bowels of compassion. Said, don't tell me the love of God dwells within you. Oh, you say they're not our neighbors. Don't you think God sees that little boy that's laying on the streets over there tonight?
You say, Brother Parks, they're not laying over. You just haven't looked close enough. Oh, the little bones are starving. While you and I over here just build up. Build up. And then you say you got the love of God. Oh, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't tell me you got the love of God. If you got the love of God, you'll get every dime you've got out of the bank. Every dime of it out. And you'll do what Jesus said. You'll put it in the work of God. You'll go out there somewhere. Like Brother Allen told me up yonder while I was in Carolina. A man that's got a great big laundry there, a great big dry cleaner. I mean a modern plant, big plant. Everything cash coming over the counter. He took me through the plant and I walked through and looked at it and the tears rolled down his cheeks and he said, God, give it to me, Brother Fry. He said, God. He said, I honor the Lord with it. He said, what I got, I got to give to God. And I walked through there with him and he said, Brother Fry, do you think I ought to sell everything I got and just go with God? He said, I'll sell it all if you think that's what I ought to do. And he said, I'll just give me a job out here. How many have I had to tell me that? I'll just give me a job out here and just go to work as a common labor. He said, if that's what it takes. And I told him this, and I tell you this. The Lord said for you to honor him with your substance. If you can take everything you've got and do like that boy's been doing, whether he's doing it now or not, I don't know. But do like he's been doing. When income tax come around, have to pray and believe God to have enough income tax money to pay. The income tax man. Take everything that comes across the counter. Buy $1,000 worth of Bibles at one time. Send them to the people. Take everything you got. Just live just like the poor people. Live like the poor people. Live like them. Not have anything, I hear. Don't give the best to you. Let me tell you this. I had my tent up in Macon, Georgia. And God was blessing. There was a man stepped up. He'd come from down from Atlanta, Georgia, and he come to our tent service that night. He stood up under the tent there and said, I called him up to the mic and stood there. As he stood down the tent, he made this statement. He said, folks, he said, I just lost my little boy. He said, I don't know why. The little boy got shot. I don't know why God took him. And he stood there and cried, a devout man to God that got killed. Oh, I could tell you so many, many instances tonight. But he stood there and cried, and then when he finished his testimony, he walked off. And the people sitting there sympathizing with him, and I sympathized with him. Oh, what a blow if I should lose mine, and I trust to God I don't. I walked up, and I wasn't aware that I was going to say what I said. I said, people, I said, I tell you why you lose your loved ones. I tell you why you lose your children. I said, that which is highly esteemed in the eyes of God, the abomination inside a man. I said, when you give him 2 pair of shoes, when the little boy across the street ain't got 1 pair, you give him 2 suits, and the little boy across the street ain't got no clothes to wear. I said, that's esteeming him too high. That's putting him above the word of God. That's putting him too high. I said, God will cut your shoes down. I said, you can look out and you'll lose him. Friend, remember that tonight. You give yours everything and let the others go like it and watch and see if they don't turn out worse than anybody else. Watch and see if they don't turn and spit in his face. I had a friend right yonder in Covington, Georgia. Right there in Covington, Georgia. I saw Christian people that give their children everything that they could desire. An accountant friend of mine had plenty of money coming in. Gave them everything. But you know what? When that little girl got up, she was a sweet little thing. When she got up so high, she went up to her mother and she said, get out of this house. That was the pay that she got for her. Talk to you like it was a dog. Spit in your face. Oh, friend, let's do the right thing. Let's do the right thing. I'm going to say this and try to close. I heard a great man that established a Bible college over here somewhere. A denominal man, not Pentecostal. And I heard him over the radio and he made this statement. He said, people, he said, the greatest education that you can give to your child is to bring him up in a poor home. He said, I know. He said, I have talked with those that are the richest. I have been among them. And said, I've seen them come up. I've seen them come up with the finest kind of education and said they wasn't worth nothing. But said, take a boy out here in a poor home that don't have nothing. Watch him come up. Said he knows the value of money. Said he has a real education that you can't get from school books. He's learned to take and give. He said, that's the greatest education one can ever get. What is it? Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Salvation is sent to the poor, the word of the Lord says. Sell all you got and give to the poor, the word of the Lord says. He that giveth to the poor lendeth unto God, and he will repay. Will you stand with me tonight? Will you stand with me tonight?
Ben, I hope this finds a place in your heart. I don't know what you're doing, but Brother Pike ain't playing. I've made that statement one time. I've made it many times across the United States, preaching from coast to coast. Brother Pike is not playing. This thing is not funny to me. When you have to believe God for every meal. Or you say, Brother Pike, people will take care of you. Don't you ever kid yourself. Oh, when I started out in the ministry, I thought they'd take care of me. I said, well, I'm a preacher. I'm called. They know that. They'll take care of me. But I want you to know, that it's been the sinners that come to my door at times. Knocked and said, we're sinners, Brother Pike. We just live out next door and we noticed you and your wife. We hope you won't feel bad. Sure, we need you. Hold the king's heart in you. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, don't they do anything? Sometimes, if they get so convicted in their heart that they're afraid you're coming through to bring judgment on them, they'll run this up. And it ain't going to do much. You'd be surprised at some of the things that we've been offered, some of the things that's been given to us. Honestly, you ought to be glad, Brother Pike. I'm thankful if it was a stable, I'd be willing to live in it. But God said, I'm a great God. Don't bring to me the halt and the lame and the blind. Inasmuch as you did it to the body of Christ, you did it to me. Don't bring me left over. He said, I'm a great God. Go down in the cellar. Get that that's about to blow up that's set down there 2 years that ain't 15 to take me to preach it. Oh, thank you. I'm glad to give it. That's right. Glad to do anything for Christ Jesus. Go over here, get the moth-eaten garments, and bring it over here. I remember one time I reached up, not trying to just wear your face, just won't talk to you anything. I reached up one day among my clothes to get some things to give to a neighbor. And I reached over and I thumbed through my shirts, and I was a young minister, and I reached over to get something, and God taught me a lesson. I said, now here's something right here I'd love to give this young gentleman. The Lord said, but you can give him this right over here. You give, it'll be given unto you. You give moth-eaten garments. You give your leftovers. You give them a place to stay that you wouldn't even stay in and let your cat stay in and put your friends in. You give them that kind of place. You know what happened to you? In the day when you come before God, he'll give you the moth-eaten garments. He'll put you down yonder in the place of darkness. He'll cast you out of his presence. What is it? Hear ye the word of the Lord. Why does God send those ministers through? You don't know why Brother Pike's here. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know why Brother JT's here. You don't know. All you say it don't mean nothing, Brother Pike. I stood in Chicago at a place that seated 2,400 people. I said, you don't know why I'm here. Oh, it doesn't matter. I stood down at that place that's known all over the world. 2,400 people, men like A.A. Allen, just filled it up, packed it out. Huge thing. I said, judgment's coming on this place, Benny. That's why God's got us here. I passed through this time on the way back. I asked about it. You know what happened? The man that was co-pastor was working in an insane asylum. The man that was pastor had taken sick. The building had been closed. That's one time. I could tell you more times. If it just wasn't for taking up time, there's so many, many, many things I'd love to tell you tonight. You don't know why a man comes through. Remember this, friend, and truthfully, I'll close. Remember this. Watch the man that comes through with the suitcase. Watch him. Don't look at the man that comes through with the big tents, the tractors and trailers. Don't pay no attention to that. Do like the little widow over there that watched the man that passed by our house there today. That's the man that God's with. That's the man that God's with. You say, I don't believe it, but Pike, it'll come to pass, and you'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see it at the end of the way. Hear ye the word of the Lord, the prophet said. They stay poor for a reason. Not because they have to, but for a reason. Let's bow our heads for me. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front tonight like I usually do. I want you to do this for me tonight. Now, I've seen this. I don't know who's dead. I noticed the brother's dad here, I believe, died. After I've seen these deaths, twice I've seen two people. One time I saw two, the other night I saw two again. People going out to meet God. And I brought the people up here about the first night or 2 hours here. And I said, folks, I said the judgment of God is going to come on you if you don't make some confessions and walk right. Some of you made confessions. Jesus said, go thy way after the confession and sin no more. And you went your way and you done the very same thing and even worse after you made your confession. That judgment that I was speaking of, friend, it wasn't just to confess. It was to forsake your sins. He that confesseth and forsakes his sins shall prosper, but he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And I know this tonight as I talk with you. You're going right back out after I talk with you, some of you. And you're going to keep your bank accounts, and I know some of you's got them. You're going to keep your house, and you're going to keep your cars. And you're going to go right on, turned over to reprobate mind, believe in a lie, being damned, thinking that you're going in under those conditions when it's the church that's got all things coming. You're going to do the very same thing. You're going on speaking haughty and hateful instead of using entreaty. You're going on lording over people and usurping authority over them instead of coming down and realizing that you're probably the least among them. What is it? What is it? Sin is going to call you to do it. You're going on, but I tell you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, at the end of the way, you're going to be turned into hell. You're going to be turned into hell. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing. I tell you tonight that you're going to be turned into hell. I wonder why you've got your heads bowed if you lift your hands tonight. Each one that will, as a token and a promise unto God. And remember, it's not unto man, but it's unto God. That you really are going to stop playing around with God. That you really are going to sell out with God. Say, Lord, I promised you everything that I had. I promised you everything that I am. And I won't hold back a part of the price like Ananias and Sapphira. I won't lay me a little bit on the side over here and think I'm going to get by with it. But I'm going to do like the others, Lord. I come in here amidst them and among them, and I'm going to give everything I got. I'm going to give everything I got, and I'm going to be truthful because the judgment of the Lord is getting close. And I done played around long enough. Long enough. You say, Brother Pike, I'll despise you. I've had a lot of folks do that. Don't mean nothing to Brother Pike. How you feel about me don't mean a hill of beans. I ain't got nothing to do with it. It's what God has to say about it. How I feel to God. You don't mean nothing to me except you being Christ Jesus. And then God give me grace to die for you. God, give me grace to give you my shoes off and my feet and come off your back. But raise your hand tonight as a token by that saying, Lord, I am no good place. What this man said is the truth. I told a man one day, I stood and looked at him. I said, Jack, I said, you're at the crossroads. I said, you're going to do something or you're going to wish you had. I said, you're at the crossroads. He just laughed, and a few days he died in a drunken stupor in jail. Or I could tell you some more. Just have time tonight to go on. Will you raise your hand by that saying, Brother Pike, I am going to quit playing? No, some of you are not going to do it. No, you're not going to do it. No, you know why? You know, you don't want to commit yourselves. You don't want to commit yourselves. You know you're not going to do it. And you feel like, well, I'll be told a lie if I did. And I think more of you, you don't. There's no need of being a hypocrite and a liar, too. So tonight, if you really mean business with God. Some of you would love to jump up and rebuke me, wouldn't you? Go ahead and do it and see where you stand with God. Why don't you do it? You've done it before. You've done it before. You wanted to here the other day. There's a person that wanted to do it here the other Sunday morning. They didn't even know the text I was on. They wanted to jump up and rebuke me. But when I got to preaching the Word of God, they saw it was the Word of God, and they settled down. They settled down. Sometimes you don't, Bible says you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. Will you raise your hand tonight? Will you? All right, out of the congregation, there's been about three hands raised. Father, tonight as we come to you, committing the service into your hand. Saying tonight, to the best of our knowledge, what we felt that you have us to say. Things that's needed have been said, Lord, for many years here. Father, that people just didn't say. But Lord, you had your way. And Lord, there comes a day. There comes a day. And now, Lord, we commit the service to thy hand. We commit these people. Asking tonight for mercy, Lord, upon these people that will obey you. Asking for mercy upon these that will do right. But Lord Jesus, tonight we shake the dust off of our feet as we have many times as a witness
and a testimony against every rebellious person here, against every person that would come against the name of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that would live hypocritically and mockingly before thee and before the brothers and sisters. I shake the dust of my feet off of them with me, and a testimony against them in the day of judgment. And I ask you to bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus.